Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Great to see you this morning. My name is Matt. If I haven't met you already, it's great to have you here and be a part of this family. And some of you may be visiting from out of town, but wonderful to have you with us today. So I want to start at least two, perhaps 3 weeks of a separate series here. We just finished up a series on the religious spirit, and we're going to move on from there and talk about some other things, pretty important stuff. So Lord, we just ask for your help today. We thank you for your goodness, for your love, for your kindness. Thank you that you're here among us. That you love every single one of us so much. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us, reveal yourself in new ways today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, as you know, when God came and walked the earth that he made Adam as he was here, the first human being. He made him, shaped him, formed him. And it didn't take long until he recognized that Adam needed something else. Yes, amen. And Adam didn't even know what he needed. But God knew he needed a woman. And so he hand-shaped and formed the pinnacle of creation. The grand finale of God's creation was woman, the most beautiful creature he'd ever made. And then he gave Eve to Adam and said that she would be a helpmate or a helper for him. In the course of time, God then walked the earth again in the form of Jesus, as we know, gave his life, enabled new birth, salvation for all who would believe in him. And he knew that all of his followers, all of his disciples, all of those who would then be called children of God, sons and daughters of God, those who would be born again that Jesus talked about, he knew that they would need a lot of help. And so Jesus began to describe something that caught everyone by surprise and that everyone needed, but they didn't necessarily realize that they needed, much like it happened in the beginning with Adam, when the helper Eve was given to man. Now mankind is given an amazing helper, so they wouldn't be alone, so they would have heaven living on the inside. That was part of the biggest part of the surprise, is that Jesus begins to unravel and reveal what had been prophesied centuries and centuries earlier that there was no understanding for about this Holy Spirit. And we have in the Bible, in the book of John, chapters 14 through 17 is called the farewell discourse, Jesus' farewell discourse. This is just hours before he goes to crucifixion. We have these chapters, 14, 15, 16, 17, where Jesus is sharing these last things after his 3-plus years on the planet walking around. He packs a bunch in here, and this is where he starts to unveil, to reveal what he has in mind, what the Father has had in mind for thousands of years that they are about to experience. And he starts off, well, I'm going to start off, and he nearly did as well. In John 14, verse 12, he says, truly, truly, there's an emphasis whenever Jesus repeats something, truly, truly, like this is going to happen, no matter what. I say to you, he who believes in me, not just the apostles, by the way, he who believes, who's that? All of us, right? Men and women, this is he in the sense of humanity, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. That's incredible. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. greater works than what Jesus did, he says, we will do, because he's going to the Father. What does that mean? Well, Jesus begins to explain it. Same chapter, drop down to verse 16. He said, I will ask the Father, when he goes to the Father, and he will give you another helper. This is like hearkening back to Genesis when Eve was created. But he's going to give you another helper. And that word helper, parakletos, means called to one's aid, a comforter, an advocate, a defender, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, a standby. There's a lot in this word, helper. This is not a weak word. This is not a less than thing. This is incredible what Jesus is revealing here. He's going to give you another helper, that he, speaking of this helper, being a person, may be with you forever, not temporarily. As we know, Jesus was there on the earth for 3.5 years in flesh, but then he left. But this helper, this person, will be with you forever. And it's that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will, he's speaking of several weeks ahead of time, he will be in you. So Jesus is saying several things in this short passage. He's going to ask the Father that the Holy Spirit be sent and given. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is first called and identified as the helper here. And he won't just be with us for 33 years on a short mission trip. He's going to remain forever with mankind, with us. And he's the Spirit of truth. Oh, I love that. He's the Spirit of truth. There are a lot of spirits that aren't truth out there, but there is one Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. He's going to come, and he's going to live on the inside of you. He's a person. He's going to do great things through you, is what Jesus is saying here. Great things, even greater than the things Jesus did. When the helper comes, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the comforter, the aid, the standby, the advocate, the intercessor, he is going to move on the inside of you and do the things that Jesus did and greater things. This is what Jesus reveals and shares with us. And this Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, not a lesser being. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He's a third person of the Trinity, undiluted God, with all power, omnipotent, all knowledge, omniscient, and he's everywhere, omnipresent. He's not less than in any way. With Jesus' farewell discourse, he opens the door to a brand new, explosive revelation, understanding of what God is about to do. They had no grid for this. Completely new. Even though the Holy Spirit is found in the book of Genesis, hovering over the waters of creation of the world, he's found there, he's prophesied in Joel, he's prophesied in other places, in Ezekiel, but there was no grid for what Jesus is revealing right here about him living on the inside of us. That revelation is still not fully understood, I would say, by many, many Christians even still. That this God doesn't just live in heaven, he lives on the inside of us, that we are his new home address, that he's chosen us. He had the Ark of the Covenant, and now we're the Ark, the carrier of him. It's incredible what Jesus is saying here. And I am certain that, he probably was, because I think while Jesus is walking on the planet, the devil followed Jesus around and tried to bring havoc and bring confusion, tried to separate. So I'm certain that the enemy was close by when Jesus said this to the disciples. And I'm also certain that he cussed when Jesus said this. Because here he had been trying to get rid of these people and been working hard to discredit anything of the Spirit And then Jesus comes and he's working hard to crucify him, to kill him, to get him out of the way. And then Jesus says this, when I go to my Father, I'm going to ask him and he's going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to live inside of all of you who believe. And he's going to do the things that I'm doing multiplied times hundreds of millions. Think the enemy like that? No. So what is the enemy going to do with that, knowing that this is God's plan? This is what's going to happen. What he can do is he can lie and deceive and trick and get Christians to believe that there's just to become cessationists. The Holy Spirit did things maybe way back then for a little bit, but he doesn't do anything now. He doesn't have power. Maybe he doesn't really live in you. He just lives up in heaven somewhere. So that means he's going to try and twist things to remove the power of what is the reality that Jesus presented and revealed. And the enemy's done that successfully, unfortunately, in so many places. The Holy Spirit is hardly talked about in many Christian denominations or groups or Sundays, often left out like a lesser part of God that, you know, he used to do stuff back when the apostles were on the earth. Instead of, no, he is here forever, Jesus said. Forever, with us, in us, forever, to do the works of Jesus and greater works. It's pretty incredible. Jesus goes on to explain, same chapter, verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, speaking of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus calls him repeatedly, the Helper, oh man, it's awesome to have a Helper. This is God coming near to help. I need help on this planet. I need help leading this church. I need help in my marriage. I need help as a dad. I need help everywhere in every way, and so do you. And we have one. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit is interested in helping you in every part of your life, every single part. Not just Sundays, he is the helper to live within us and to help us with all things. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So he's going to teach you things, and boy, I appreciate this last part. As I get older, he's going to bring to your remembrance all things. I'm often asking the Holy Spirit, help me, remember. And I apologize already to all of you for forgetting your name at times or whatever. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help my memory. He will help us remember the things that Jesus has said, scriptures, words that God has given to us, names of people. He helps us remember. Part of what the Holy Spirit does is helps us in that way. And then in John 15, during this farewell discourse, let's jump to chapter 15. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified, verse 26. Jesus again speaking, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify and bear witness about me. He's going to reveal Jesus to us in ways that Jesus hasn't been revealed before. The Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus. He's always revealing Jesus. The Trinity is amazing. The Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God being almost a title, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, being these three persons making up this God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There is no dysfunction in the Trinity. They love one another. They are one. They prefer each other. Jesus talking about the Father is greater than me. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And then you get the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus and revealing the Father. There's this preference back and forth between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can see that here as Jesus is saying this. And he's saying he will testify and bear witness about me. Jesus then says that he is about to leave and to go to the Father, which he said, when I do, there's some great things that are going to happen. John 16, verse 7, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, which I'm certain that no one believed that at that moment. Imagine you're walking with Jesus for 3.5 years. You're watching him do all the things that he does, multiply food, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons, provide leadership, all of these things make sense of what was prophesied years before. He's doing all these things. Then Jesus says, I'm going away to the Father. It's better for you that I go away. That does not make a lot of sense to them, I'm sure. But certainly it makes sense to us because we see why. And it has to do with this. If I do not go away, the Helper, again, will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. He's going to go to heaven and play tag. You're it. And the Holy Spirit's going to come and not just be here in one place at one time in one body, but to be in all sons and daughters of Jesus at the same time, helping each of us all the time around the planet. Incredible. And then in John 16, verse 8, says, and he, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will do this. He'll convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Conviction of sin. This is a wonderful thing. I felt it when I was 7. It doesn't even make sense naturally. I was 7. But I felt this overwhelming conviction of my sin. I felt it. I knew it. It was, I'm a sinner. I talked to my dad. What is going on? I feel this overwhelming conviction. I don't think I use that word. But he explained the gospel to me. Knelt in the dirt with him in our garden. We're weeding strawberries. July of 1976. And he walked me through this prayer to receive Jesus and the forgiveness of my sins. But I felt that conviction. Conviction is what the Holy Spirit does for an unbeliever to show them, to share with them that they're a sinner. They need a Savior. It is such a beautiful thing. Thank you, God, for conviction. And by the way, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict people, not us. You ever try to convict someone of sin? I have. Usually doesn't go over too well. It's because it's not my job. And I do a lousy job at it when I try. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's what he does, is convict the world of sin. Conviction of righteousness. I think that conviction of righteousness is to convict us that we are the righteousness of Jesus. My righteousness is not in my own self. It's in what he has done for me. And we should have this conviction that, yes, I'm righteous before the Lord. Jesus is no longer here because he fulfilled all righteousness, one time for all time. And now my righteousness is by faith in him. We need to have that conviction that you're righteous separate from your own works. And conviction of judgment, that the enemy's already been judged, found guilty, and all who have received Jesus have been made righteous. And the Holy Spirit helps us to see that. That's important for us to see, to know, to understand. The Holy Spirit does that. Verse 12, Jesus continues, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. There's another thing that the Holy Spirit does, is he guides you and I into all truth. I love that. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So he guides into all truth. He's a navigator through life. Guides us into truth, helps show us what's true and what's a lie. He will share with us what's to come, the future that's full of hope, with joy. You know, the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So he gives us joy. He glorifies Jesus. And he's going to share and illuminate all truth with us. This really speaks of relationship with this Holy Spirit. Part of what we get, not only does he live on the inside, but we're to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Talking with him, listening to him, paying attention to his sensing that he gives us, his prompting that he gives us, his thoughts that he puts in our minds. This relationship with God by the Holy Spirit on the inside of us is part of the joy of life as a Christian. Following him, learning about him, what is he like? And learning his voice. How does he speak? What are the ways in which he speaks? We need him so desperately. He does so many things. Here's what he's not. The Holy Spirit is not a force, a feeling, or a symbol. He's a person. He may bring some feelings, but he's just not a feeling. He's God. He's not just a symbol. He is God. And the very surprising gift for thousands of years that was prophesied given to us, the greatest gift. The gift of salvation, amazing gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit, amazing gift. It's the gifts that we have been given from heaven. And he works in so many different ways. I just want to share with you, I've shared the story here before, but it just reminded me of this when I think of the working of the Holy Spirit in so many different ways. And he does things that we can't do. Things that I can't do. Things that I can't produce. I went several years ago, this is probably 17 years or so ago now, we were just started working through Hydrating Humanity in Africa. We were in Tanzania. I was standing very near the border of Kenya and Tanzania on the Tanzanian side. We're wanting to give water to this village, and they've never had clean water before. We've got a hydrogeologist there working with this terrameter. He's sitting on the ground. He's got probes in the ground. He's sending signals to find the water before we dig. And I'm standing off to the side letting him do the work, and all these African guys, while the women are doing all the work, the African guys were doing nothing, and standing around watching this piece of equipment. Didn't know what was going on. This is like very novel. So as they're watching that, I'm standing off to the side, and I see this older man walking toward me, and he's staring right at me. He's about this tall, and he is glaring at me. And he walks right by me and just glares as he passes me. Walks over to the group of guys that are around our equipment and starts saying things. They all turn and look at me, and they start laughing. He'd say something else. They laugh some more. So I said to our translator, Jackson, I said, Jackson, can you tell me what is this old man saying? And he said, he's making fun of you, sir. And I did something in that moment that I would never encourage anyone else to do. So apologize on the front end, for this is not evangelism 101. This is not the best way to do this. Something rose up in me, and I said, could you give him a message for me? And he said, yeah, what, sir? And I said, tell him, say this to him, you're very old and you may die soon. And then ask him the question, do you know Jesus? Now, that's not maybe the best way to do that. But it's what came out. So he said, are you sure? I said, yes. So he walks over to him, engages this man in conversation, and said, you're very old. He says, you're very old. You may die soon. Do you know Jesus? And they start a conversation. He didn't seem offended, but he starts a conversation and start walking toward me. They get over to me, and he says, I do not know Jesus. He said something to the Greek as it got translated to me. I've served the gods of this world all my life. And then he begins to tell me that he's the witch doctor in the area, and he's responsible for female mutilation, a female circumcision, through the whole village. He was proud of that, which was a tradition in Africa that is barbaric, it's evil. He was over that in the region. and, you know, not interested. And so, but as we started to talk a little bit back and forth, I never shared the gospel with him. But then he said something so bizarre. And I was looking at him. He reminded me of my grandfather for a moment, who met the Lord right before he died. And this man said to me, we first had a conversation about him changing, that God could change him into someone that he wasn't right now. So he looked at me and said, if I'm going to change, you have to come to my house. I said, okay. So Pat Selvey, my friend who was there with me, we go to this guy's house. We get in our vehicle. He comes in there. We drive to his house. It's about a 10 by 10 room, dark, no electricity, no bathroom. It's filthy. We got the door creaked open. We got some little bit of light coming in there. He's got this little mattress on the floor. And there are weird things in here. Branches and lots of bottles of oils and concoctions throughout the whole room. And it was just bizarre. And as we stood there, he says, okay, what would you like me to do? Which is, I'm thinking, something is wrong. This is way too easy. He's saying he is ready to change. He's asking me to tell him what to do. And I said, well, first thing that came to mind, I said, get everything related to your witchcraft that you have in this room and pile it in the middle of the floor, because we're going to take it away and burn it. But told him that, so he starts just immediately grabbing this oil and grabbing this branch off the wall, and he had all these different sizes of knives and get all the stuff in the middle of the floor. And I still am just a little dumbfounded. How is this happening? Because, in my life, I've had conversations with Muslims for hours and hours at a time arguing. I've had conversations with other unbelievers, atheists, whatever, and just had difficulty. I feel like it doesn't go anywhere sometimes for hours at times. And here's this guy, haven't even shared the gospel yet, and he's just doing what I ask him to do, piling all this stuff in the middle of the floor. And then he looks at me, and everything started to make sense. He said, you've been coming to me in my dreams. And I said, really? I said, what happens in your dream? He said, when you come to me, you take me and you put me underneath water and you bring me back up again. And when he said that, I realized in that moment, this is the work of the Holy Spirit and not me. The Holy Spirit has been giving him a dream over and over for a long time of me showing up and putting him underwater, speaking of baptism, and pulling him back up again, that he didn't understand and I didn't know what happened. And so as soon as he said that, Jackson, the translator, said, Matt, can I share Jesus with him now? And I said, yes. So he goes in his language and he shares with him Jesus. Next thing you know, this man, this witch doctor, falls to the ground on his knees. We did too. Around this pile of garbage in this dirty room, and he gives his life to Jesus. He begins to weep and to shake, and we all gather around him and lay hands on him and pray over him and kick out demons, evil spirits that he had welcomed through his life. And he stood up and was like a different person. The glaring man that was walking by me was no longer there. And I said to Jackson, I said, where is there water? We've got to baptize this guy. And he said, the closest water, because we hadn't provided any yet, was in Kenya, the next country over. So we had to do some driving. So we get in the vehicle, we drive across the border into Kenya, and there's this little creek. You can go ahead and put up that first picture. I got a picture of this. I used to have dark hair, by the way. His name is Mawida. And we took him on the left there, take him to this little creek. It's filthy, as you can see. And sometimes they tell you when you're in Africa, you know, you shouldn't even have your bare feet in some of the water and stuff on the soil because little worms can bore up through your skin. I thought, there's no way I'm not getting wet today. So we climbed in, rolled up our pant legs and got in this water. I explained baptism to him in 2 minutes. And I said, do you want to do this? And he looked at me with a big smile. He said, this is just like my dream. So we sat him down. What I forgot to explain, as you usually do when we're in the tub up here, is to close your mouth. And he went under like this. Water poured in. He coughed that up on the way up. And soon as, see a little toe sticking out of the water? As soon as he came up, he did that. We didn't say anything about raising your hands. He just did that. He lifted his hands to the Lord. His eyes, again, were clear like I'd never seen him before. And this all happened in, I'd say, a half an hour of time. And got him out of the water. We didn't have a towel or anything. We get him back in the truck, and we're on the way back to his house to drop him off. And I said, Melita, I said, I have to ask you a couple questions. I said, when did you first start getting this dream? And Africans, oftentimes, they're not linear thinking like we are. They're much more circular thinking. Don't often have a good idea of time and how much time has gone by in years and things like that. So he didn't know how many years, but he said, a long, long time ago when I first joined the other men in the witchcraft, which I don't know what that meant, but it had been a long time. And I said, when was the last time that you had that dream? And he said, I had it last night. So God gave him the repeat of that very dream the night before we arrived. My guess is that before I was born, God started giving him a dream of a grown-up me putting him underwater. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. That's God setting the stage inside of someone's life for Jesus to come reap a harvest. For someone to wake up to who Jesus is and to be freed and set free. So we took him to his house. He asked for one thing, and I thought, oh no, I hope he doesn't ask for money. He said, could you get me some soap? I have some things to clean. That was the first thing he said to us after that. So full of joy, big, huge smile. We go back 3 days later. That's the next slide. This is at his house 3 days later. See that big smile he's got? But he wasn't happy. He wasn't smiling when we first pulled up. He was upset, and he said, I don't understand why you've done this to me. You introduced me to Jesus. This has been amazing that I know God now. He said, but why did you go away and you withheld from me my new name? Which I never thought of one time. I only thought about naming our children, not anybody else. But to him, your name aligns with your beliefs, with your religion. If he's changing religion, he got rid of witchcraft. What's his new identity? What's his new name in serving Jesus? And I remembered, I didn't know what to do, other than I remembered one of the first moments when I saw him, he reminded me of my grandfather, met the Lord right before he died. My grandfather's name was James, happens to be my middle name as well. So I just said instantly, I'm so sorry, Muita, that we did not give you your new name then. Here's what it is. It's James. Here's who James was in the Bible, follower of Jesus, disciple of Jesus, brother of Jesus, and he lit up with a smile. That's all he needed. We prayed for him again, got him connected with a pastor to disciple him, and off we went. Anyway, all that to share, it was the Holy Spirit that did all these things. The Holy Spirit, no one is smart enough to do this. The Holy Spirit does things that we can't do. He's moving, he's working, he's going before us, even before we're born. Setting things up for people that you're going to meet that you haven't met yet. The Holy Spirit is powerful. He knows everything. He lives outside of time, yet he lives on the inside of us. He convicted him of sin. He revealed Jesus as God to him through a person sharing the gospel with him. And then the Holy Spirit displaced the evil spirits that were inside of him and moved in himself into James. Thank you, Lord. About this time last year, my wife and I were walking along a golf course and noticed this little tiny church with a cemetery around it. And as we walked by it, there was some orange netting as they had a new construction. They're building a new clubhouse there. It's at Tanglewood. And I heard this noise, like an animal. And I stopped, turned around, and inside the orange netting was this dove that was trapped, flapping its wings, cooing, trying to get someone's attention. It was stuck in there. And I thought, as I'm doing it, there are many times in life where you're something is going on and you recognize the signature of the Holy Spirit. He's trying to speak to you. And this was that thing. So I walked right up to this dove who's caught inside this net, and I opened up the net, and he flew out and went right toward that church. And instantly I felt like the Lord was saying, there have been so many artificial things that have been said that has trapped the Holy Spirit from going into the church that he was meant to live within and to flow within. People have kept him from having his way inside the body of Christ, inside the church of the living God, you and I. And I don't want to do that. We want him to have his way, to do what he wants to do. This is God. This is God. He's not weird. You know the Holy Spirit's not weird? He's amazing. He's amazing. He brings heaven wherever he goes. The presence, he's the presence of God wherever he goes and all that he does. All the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk more about that later. But he's incredible. Jesus said in John chapter 20, and I'll end with this here. Verse 21, Jesus repeated his greeting to his disciples after he had died, risen from the dead, and his disciples were afraid and hiding. Jesus arrives in the room, appears, and says to them, peace to you. And he told them, just as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. Verse 22, then taking a deep breath, he blew on them, like, or whatever he did. He did that to his disciples. He blew air on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. He's preparing his disciples for what is about to come, Pentecost. And for us, Pentecost is celebrated next weekend. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate Pentecost. Just before that happened, he breathes on his disciples and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Prepare your heart to receive the one who is to be sent to you. That is what Jesus did, and they did. We're going to talk about that next week, Lord willing. Lord, thank you so much for your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being the great surprise, the greatest surprise of all time, to come and live within us, to dwell inside of us, to give us thoughts that we couldn't have of ourselves, to give power through us, to heal through us, to set free through us, to give us words, to give us ideas, creative ideas, of ways of doing things that we could not think of ourselves. We, just in obedience even to what Jesus said and the invitation that Jesus gave, we receive you, Holy Spirit, afresh and anew. We just open up our spirit man. Everything we get in God, we receive by faith. So by faith, we receive you, Holy Spirit, in your fullness and all that you have to bring, all that you have to give. We receive you and we thank you. Holy Spirit, be turned loose on the church, this church, every church. May your Spirit move through the nations. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.